You're listening to episode 47 of the FitzPro podcast, and today is one of my absolute favorite topics to talk about, and that is goal setting. I just think that we get a lot more things done when we have a clear set goal. I think that we feel better about what we're doing. We have more focus, and like I said, ultimately we are more productive. So today I'm going to go over what kind of did and didn't work in 2019, and then how that kind of directed me for my goals in 2020. So, might be a short episode, but I certainly hope that it is helpful and applicable to you. Without further ado, let's dive in. The FitzPro podcast is your no BS approach to seeking out truth in the world that is online health and fitness. You'll see through the lens of the trainer, the trainee, and the entrepreneur. I'm your host, Annie Miller. Certified strength and conditioning specialist, entrepreneur, lover of sleep, lattes, and dinosaurs, aka not your average FitzPro. And my aim is to help you grow your mind, body, and business through knowledge and authenticity so that you too can become a FitzPro. So as we near the end of 2019, I thought it would be fun to recap some of the things that I learned this year in 2019, plus how that changed my planning tactics for 2020. And my hope is that you gain some insightful takeaway from this episode for your own New Year planning, or you start using New Year planning if you haven't. And I want to make clear that I'm not talking about a New Year's resolution. I have some negative connotation with that, but I am all for goals. So if yours includes a New Year resolution, more power to you. Now, I must preface this by pointing out that I am the biggest fan of not waiting for the new year, or any date for that matter, to start doing the thing, whatever the thing is for you. I am on team start right now, start messy, write it down, and take some small action or big action today, but start moving in the direction that you want to go. If you have followed me for any period of time on any of my platforms, you probably have grasped that by now. So I started my planning for 2020 in November of 2019, and I have already completed some of my 2020 goals in 2019, simply because I sat down and made a plan and then I was focused on doing that. And I personally can't handle, I don't cope well with unfinished projects. So when I get an idea, I have to like execute it ASAP and get it done, which just speaks to the power of creating goals, writing them down, and brainstorming an actual plan. I literally don't have words to express my feelings around the power of diligent planning combined with messy action. Truly magical things happen when you commit to a planning process of some kind and reviewing that plan often. So let's go ahead and dive into some of the things that I did in 2019 that went well, along with some things that have created different actions for me heading into 2020. In 2019, I have talked about this previously, but quarterly planning was life-changing for me, and I think was a huge mindset shift for me from a business owner to a true CEO. I started functioning like a CEO, tracking numbers, looking at tactics and strategies versus working so much in my business. Now, I do understand, too, that is a natural progression with different stages of business, so be careful to compare your, you know, first year of business or not yet starting a business to my fifth year. Just want to throw that out there as well. I love paper planners personally. I live by them. In fact, I recently published a blog post with my favorite planners heading into 2020, so make sure to check that out if you haven't. One of them is Amber McHugh's Fresh Start Workbook and Planner for 2020. I used her 2019 version starting in November of 2018 to really start planning my 2019 year. I don't like the idea of like waiting until the new year starts to start planning the new year. That would make me feel behind personally. So I like to start with, you know, 2 months in advance, start envisioning what you want your next year to look like. Amber breaks it down from main annual goals to quarterly focus goals and then month to month goals, which are of course in line with your quarterly and annual goals. Then at the end of each month, you actually go back and review your last month to see what worked, what didn't work, so that you can make adjustments moving forward. I really enjoyed having that. I'd never done anything that structured before with my planning, and it was something that I really looked forward to doing each month. Now, I know that that sounds like a lot of time and work, and to be honest, it is. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. Planning takes work. Brainstorming dreams and goals takes work. Taking action for those things is work, and then obviously making sure that you're staying on track with those and or ebbing and flowing from those goals also takes work. But for me, it's also way more effective than not having a plan or having, you know, a half-assed plan in my head or straight up winging running a business, right? Or even running your life. Like, we don't necessarily want to wing life either, unless, you know, you're getting out of life what you want by winging it, whatever. I knew after using Amber's planner for just one quarter that I would be using it again in 2020. Like, after quarter one of 2019, it was effective enough for me and had a positive enough impact that I knew I was going to use this planner again heading into 2020. So I did. What am I doing in 2020? In November, I began reflecting on 2019 and planning 2020. In Amber's planner, you also review your last year. That's how the planner starts out, and then you make your goals for the upcoming year. So in 2019, I had too many goals. I decided in 2020 to cut it down from four big goals to two big goals. Now, of course, it depends on, you know, how much work goes into each of these goals. Obviously, if they're four smaller goals, that might be feasible. But for me, I had four pretty big goals in 2019, and I only completed two of them. So the other two are actually what are continuing over into 2020. I won't be revealing those here, the actual goals, but in focusing in on just one or two things, I already feel less overwhelmed than I did last year at this time, which is, you know, November, December, heading into the new year. It's so refreshing to know that I will only be honing in on two areas of my business in 2020. Like, I cannot express how light that feels and how empowering that is for me. It frees up so much headspace for me, especially with the amount of travel that we plan to do in the new year in 2020, because I have chosen to focus on one or two areas of growth. I have already began tackling those, like I said, and I'm well on my way to reaching some of those goals in 2020. I also want to point out two things. So one, my goals for 2020 I had in 2019 and didn't reach, right? So like I said, I had four goals in 2019. Two of them I didn't reach. I barely even focused on. They kept coming up each month, but I did nothing to actually actively reach those goals, okay? And we all know a goal is great, but it's nothing without a plan and action. There are still things I want very much so for my business. So I simply pushed those into 2020, and they are now my main focus for this upcoming year. Number two, with that, I made a goal at the end of 2018. Yes, at the end of 2018, that I did not want to create anything new or launch anything new in 2020. No new products. I knew I'd be creating all of the things and launching all of the things in 2019, and I just wanted to breathe, optimize, and align those services that I created in 2020 or that I created in 2019 in 2020. So yes, a goal in 2020 for me is to not open any new things, to not have to create any new things. I know you might think that that is absolutely crazy, and I will likely update some things, right? I want to be realistic with that, especially as an entrepreneur. I'm sure I will get the itch to create something. But if you've ever created anything, you know how much time, effort, sweat, blood, and tears goes into not only the creation process, but the marketing, the launching, the email list building, the sales page creating, and so on. It is not simple, and it probably looks real nice on the outside, but it is not easy, fam. It is a process. It takes a lot of mental space. It takes a lot of energy, emotional energy, creativity, and that is not something that I want to focus on in 2020. So in 2019, I launched and relaunched a lot of things, which has given me an amazing base and a product suite, a program suite, a service pyramid, whatever you want to call it, to work from in 2020, right? I've created all of my programs, all of my offers, and 2020 is about optimizing and aligning those offers, those systems, and really taking my offer pyramid and making as much impact plus income as I can from that offer pyramid, working on automating that. So that's kind of the focus for 2020, is very much so a CEO role of strategy and optimization over the creative portion of entrepreneurship. I hope all of that makes sense. So let's dive into planners and planning. I want to move into, like I said, Amber McHugh's planner. I also am using Hillary Rushford's planner. My favorite planner for day to day is my Day Designer. So I'm not just sketching these plans on paper, on a random piece of paper, on sticky notes. Like, I am using documents to help me keep track of all of this. So we're going to kind of dive into how you actually make those goals become a reality. What does that process look like? I use two planners, and yes, I take them around the world with me because I cannot function with plans held in only an electronic place or in my head. I need pen and paper. It's part of the actual like processing process for me, something I can open every day or week depending on my needs. So I use the flagship Day Designer as my daily planner that is linked on a blog. I will link it in this podcast as well. I use the larger version when I am at home, but when we travel, I take the mini flagship version. It's great. It is just as good as the big one. It just has less time slots, but when I'm traveling the world, I'm not waking up at 5 a.m. And let's be honest, if I'm at home, I'm not waking up at 5 a.m. either. So I probably don't need the big one when I'm home, but that's aside the fact. Those daily plans are broken into time slots and then also have an area for your top three as well. So if you've heard me talk about the top two that I use, I really like that this planner does have a massive to-do list, so I can kind of put like my monthly focus on the monthly to-do list, and then I can put my top three tasks that I want to complete that day in my top three, and that's all I'm concerned with for that day. So I personally like that you kind of have the bird's eye view, and then you can also time block or batch your top three for the day in the time slots. My tasks in this daily planner are determined by the tasks and goals in the Fresh Start workbook and Hillary Rushford's new Elegant Excellence Goal Planner. I have not received my planner from Hillary yet, but every year I do her year reflection and planning and absolutely love it from more of a mental health and reflection standpoint. So I had to be buying her new journal when she came out with it. Hillary is a woman after my own heart. She is an educator, and her planner slash journal comes with video trainings as well. That kind of walk you through some of the processes in the notebook and what she wants you to get out of it. So that is like 150% winning, in my opinion. I will absolutely love that. I know I will. And maybe I will review that when I actually get a chance to go through it. So both Hillary and Amber's planners have a reflection for the previous year, like I stated, as well as planning for the up and coming year. So both also have a business aspect to them and an emotional health side, a personal side to them outside of your business, right? I would say that Hillary's is heavier on the emotional state and goals within running a business or chasing dreams. So like I mentioned earlier, you'll dream big, like really freaking big, you know, 10-year plans, and then you'll whittle it down to smaller chunks in order to get you where you want to go. Those quarterly, then weekly, then daily tasks are what become your priority. And mind you, you are not stuck with a concrete plan with these. I know that can be off-putting for some people or scary. The whole point of creating these plans for 2020 is to just provide a direction and some structure from which you can move and modify if needed. So that's where revisiting and revising the plans comes into play. In my mastermind planner, which is from Hillary Rushford, and my Fresh Start workbook, there is a reflection of some kind, whether it's weekly or monthly. I preferred the Elegant Excellence weekly reflection to the monthly reflection in the Fresh Start workbook because I find that the weekly reflection felt like a lot at first, but man, did it keep me on top of my priorities, and I really came to love it in the process once I kind of got into a groove with reflecting every Friday. It can be very easy to lose sight of your goal over the course of 1 month. But when you're checking in with yourself weekly and reflecting and setting intentions for the upcoming week, it can make a world of difference, and I highly suggest it. Even if it's overwhelming at first, once you get into a rhythm, like with anything, and it becomes a habit, I really think that it is worth it to reflect on a weekly basis. I just want to make clear that the plan should not make you feel restricted, but provide structure. It's not concrete. You might decide to reach your goal in a different way than originally planned, but that will come through taking action, right? So I launched things that I didn't plan to launch in 2019 simply because I saw a need for those products or services and I wanted to create them. But it then became a part of my quarterly and monthly plan to execute. Right? So it's just ebbing and flowing, but having a base to go off of. These plans also keep you from putting too many things on your plate. They assist you in practicing essentialism. If you don't know what that is, it's linked on my Amazon page. I'm sure I'll link it in the podcast show notes as well, but it's really learning how to, you know, be a master of your time and where you allow your time to go and what you decide to commit to in your life and only saying yes to hell yeses and learning to say no to things that might be good right now or might be good, but just not right now. So it's not, you know, only saying no to no's. It's saying no to things that might be a yes, but they're not a hell yes. So we let them go for now. That's because you cannot do everything at once. You can do it all. I do believe that you can do it all, but not all at the same time. There is a huge difference there, and that could be a whole other podcast episode. So with all of that, I hope that you make plans for 2020 and goals of some sort. Dream big and then chop it down into digestible pieces. You won't have a strict roadmap or all of the answers, but you'll have some action steps that will get you closer and closer to your goal, and that is the goal. And as you take action, you'll learn, you'll gain insight, and you can do better so that you can start planning the next steps towards whatever your goal is. I just don't want the overwhelm of sitting down to make the plans for the next year be too daunting for you to even start that process. Start it, do it, make the plans, make some plans, get something on paper. You have the goals, you have the dreams. They are there, but it will take time and energy and effort to sit down and get them on paper. That is also how you're going to make it happen. Okay, that's all I have, fam. 2019, I found that quarterly and monthly planning is life, that weekly reflection and having that accountability is absolutely amazing, and that I had too many goals for the year, right? So in 2020, we are doing less, but going deeper in fewer goals and making sure that we have quarterly, monthly, and weekly priorities set, all providing a framework to build from, but also to move with. We reached 100 reviews, by the way, on the podcast. Thank you so much. I announced the winners a week ago, on Instagram. So I do not have those with me right now. I will put them in the show notes. Make sure you go look and see if it is you, because I have to give you something for free. So that'll be between you and me. One of the winners did contact me and she got Bodyweight for Weightlifters for free. So one more freebie to give out. Make sure you check out the show notes for that. If you have not yet given the show 5 stars but find value here, please head over to iTunes and leave your girl 5 stars plus a written review. That is how I reach more people and get in front of new eyeballs and ears. You are the best. Until next time, I am Annie Miller, and thank you so much for tuning into the FitsPro podcast.